Welcome to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help you find healing for your wounds, find hope in your despair, find intimacy in your loneliness, and to find refuge from the storms of life. Basically, to help you find a deeper walk with Jesus. If there's one thing I know after having lived all these years, is that my God wastes nothing, not our sorrows, not our wounds, not even our failures. Hi, I'm your host, Dennis Jernigan, and today I'd like to talk with you about the story behind my song, More Than Enough. It came to me on January 10th, 2018. This past year, I wrote and published a book called Renewing Your Mind, Identity and the Matter of Choice. Little did I know or imagine how much I would need to rely on the truth of God's Word and reapply that truth to my own soul again and again. I thought my life was in a great place after the process of writing and releasing the book. My marriage was great. My children were great. My grandchildren were great. Ministry was great. Then my dad died. Walking through the dying process with a parent is so difficult. Spending time with my dad, even in ICU with the tubes and IVs rendering him incapable of verbal response, even when I could not tell if he recognized me at times, even during the times of watching him finally fall into a drug-induced sleep, I was able to grieve along the way. Grief is simply the feeling of loss. Mourning is the outward expression of that feeling. I was great at feeling the loss, but not doing so great at expressing it. The funeral was absolutely fitting and glorious. My dad, having given me a list of 15 worship songs he wanted at his homegoing celebration because he wanted us to be happy for him. He wanted us to celebrate. Although we could only squeeze 5 songs from his list into that 2-hour service, I shared them all in the passing days in live feeds on Facebook and other opportunities like that. Something I think my dad would approve of as a practical solution. He died on August 31st, 2017. Thinking I had gotten all my mourning out of my soul and to prove myself past the bulk of my grief, I dove into an intense schedule of personal discipline to keep my mind focused on the real and on the present and off of the empty place left by my dad's absence. Here's my actual schedule. This is what I wrote. Monday, broadcast on Facebook Live, then write at least 1,500 words of either ministry or book material. Answer ministry emails. Tuesday, broadcast on Facebook Live, write and record podcasts, answer ministry emails. Wednesday, broadcast on Facebook Live, write at least 1 week's worth of personal daily devotions, answer ministry emails, and then conduct church that night in my home. Thursday, broadcast on Facebook Live, then write at least 2,500 words of a new fantasy novel I'm working on, answer ministry emails, write a newsletter. Friday, broadcast on Facebook Live, write at least 2,500 words on a new memoir or whatever I feel like writing on that day. Work on marketing and e-publishing, then answer ministry emails. Pretty busy schedule, right? Kept me pretty busy, kept my mind focused, right? Well, at the end of that first full week of December, my mind began to say no in not so uncertain terms. One night as I lay down to sleep, I suddenly felt a sense of panic, like just being overwhelmed, like falling into a deep hole of fear that kept sucking me deeper and deeper into despair. That first night was miserable. That second night, though, was horrifying. The third night in a row of sleeplessness and its overshadowing fear left me feeling as if I were losing my mind. Melinda would simply speak truth to me from God's Word, and I would read the Word and listen to it through the night, but nothing seemed to help. Each night became the same, and the fear soon became, I don't want to fear going to bed each night. Melinda was so good to keep asking me what lies I was believing, but I could never put my finger on just one lie. I believe the enemy had woven such a web of lies that my thoughts had become so entangled that they would never become whole again. Even as I tried to name any lies I was believing in, even after putting on the truth of God's Word, I still experienced panic attacks, leading to several more sleepless nights. During one of those episodes, while driving home one night, I felt so overwhelmed I thought I needed to pull over to the side of the road as I cried out to God, "Help me, Father, just help me." That very moment, my phone rang. On the other end was a friend I hadn't spoken to in many years, a friend who happens to be a professional therapist of all things. He simply said, "Hey, Dennis, after all the thousands of people you have ministered to through the years, How many have ever stopped to ask you how you're doing? Dennis, how are you doing? My mind was suddenly able to gain control of the thought of the miraculous intervention of God in my life in that moment. It truly was supernatural. That was not lost on me. Supernatural, beyond mere coincidence. My friend talked me through my panic and helped me breathe all the way home. He sang to me and assured me that this was part of the process of grieving, that God would be with me through it all. He encouraged me to make a list of the things I missed about my dad, and then he encouraged me to do, guess what? He encouraged me to sing. That moment of God's very evident intervention in my life helped lasso my thoughts back into reality. That night, I mourned the loss of my dad. That night, I began taking back the stolen ground of the past few weeks of panic. That night, I slept. The next week, I went to my family doctor and told him of my experiences, and he told me grief does weird things and shows up at strange moments, like experiencing the first Christmas season without my dad. He had diagnosed me with sleep deprivation. That was an easy one. And he prescribed a sleep aid, and then he grabbed me, did something awesome. He prayed with me for God to intervene and put my mind at rest. I discovered that day I have not just a great physician and an earthly doctor, but I have a great physician in Jesus, who is my healer. He used them both to help me get to where I am right now. With the help of my wife and the help of my children and friends, I realized how loved I was, and the fear began to subside. Rather than diving into work to fill my sorrow, I began to fill my life with things that brought hope, things that gave me something to look forward to, like fishing with my grandsons, like being with and knowing my wife, like movies with happy endings. I love movies with happy endings. Like reading the constant family chat my children keep going on WhatsApp, and like recalling all I have and not focusing on what I've lost. One by one, as rest and love replaced sleeplessness and fear, I was able to put words to the lies, and one by one, replace each lie with the truth. At the risk of being a little too transparent, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to share the brief version of that list of lies along with the truth I put on in each one's place. Here's a big lie I was believing. One day I'll be strapped to a hospital bed with a tube down my throat, my hands restrained. Here's the truth God put in its place. Even if that were to come to pass, I would have God's presence and grace to get me through. And if my dad could do it well, then so could I. Here's another big lie I believed. I'm no longer needed or necessary, hated by the world and forgotten by the body of Christ. Here's the truth I put in that one's place. I'm still here, therefore I am still needed, regardless of what the world thinks, and I'm still part of the body of Christ no matter what. Here's another big lie I believed. This is silly after I think about it, but it was one of the lies I believed. No one loves you, Dennis. Here's the truth. I do not need everyone to love me. Just to know my Father God, just to know my wife, just to know my family, and just to know my friends, that's enough. That will do. Here's another lie I believed. You're getting too old for all of this. You're a laughingstock. You're a has-been. Here's the truth. I am just getting started. I am adored by my Father. I am son of the King, and I will go down fighting for the truth because the love I know in Christ is worth dying for. Here's a great big fat lie I believed. Even the church has no need of your message, Dennis. The bulk of your income is derived from the churches you minister to and in. And since gay marriage is the law of the land, the church has no need of your message anymore. You need to rethink what the Word of God truly says, really says about homosexuality. Get with the modern gospel. You are the hater. Here's the truth I put in that one's place. The church is not my provider. God is my provider. I'm commanded to say so and tell my story of redemption and identity in Jesus Christ. Same-sex attraction is a temptation. It is not an identity. God created us male and female. The world is headed for the destruction of the deception of the enemy concerning who we are intended to be. Confusion over identity has permeated every part of our culture. We need a solid rock on which to stand, not a wishy-washy gospel based on false love. The Word stands forever, and I choose to stand there and with the Word of God, no matter what. That's a big truth right there. It was in the midst of making that list and There are so many other lies I had been believing, but just choose not to bore you any further with. As I recently listened to a podcast called Fun Therapy, I began to make a mental list of all my feelings. Any feelings that were fear-based, I put in the lie column. And any fears that were, or any feelings that were love-based, I placed in the truth column. The words of this song, More Than Enough, poured out as my honest prayer of honest transparency before the Lord. I'll not languish in the place of fear any longer. I will walk through the process of mourning the loss of my dad by taking the hand of my God and taking his truth and putting it on as he leads me to the place of healing this song left me in. May it do the same and be the same for you. 1 John 4, 18-19 says this, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us.
Sometimes I feel so broken, I just cannot be fixed. Like two perfect notes that should harmonize, but cannot be mixed. Sometimes I ache, sometimes the hurt seems too deep to feel. So numb and so cold to find enough strength to grasp what is real. I have come to conclude I am never enough, and that is why I know I need you so much. You are enough when I hang by a thread, more than enough when I cling to the ledge. You are enough, you and your love are more than enough. You are enough to quiet my fear, more than enough. Always closer than near, you are enough. You and your love are more than enough. Feelings reveal that somewhere I'm believing a lie. My God is not there, that my God does not care, so just lay down and die. So I fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, the absolute truth. That you wanted me so much that you died for me, and I'm living proof. I have come to conclude you are more than enough, and that is why I know I need you so much. You are enough when I hang by a thread, more than enough when I cling to the ledge. You are enough, you and your love are more than enough. You are enough to quiet my fear, more than enough. Always closer than near, you are enough. You and your love are more than enough. You are enough when I'm too numb to feel, more than enough to bind my wounds as they heal. You are enough, you and your love, much more than enough. Ooh. You are enough when my strength has been drained, more than enough to comfort me in my pain. You are enough, you and your love are more than enough. You are enough, yes, you and your love, much more than enough.
Father, 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 thank you so much for being with us through the times of fear, the times of wounding, the times of pain, the times of sorrow, the times of grief, just through every episode, every aspect of our lives. Just thank you for being there. That is more than enough, Father. Your grace is more than enough. It's sufficient. Pour out your grace on all those who listen to this podcast in Jesus' name. Meet them right where they are, Lord. Amen. Today's episode is brought to you by mpdesignsjewelry.com. At mpdesignsjewelry.com, you'll find beautifully crafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, or you can have artisan, my wife, Melinda Jernigan, she's amazing, create a special piece for that someone special in your life. Thank you for joining me here on the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. If you'd like more information on me or my story or my music, just go to dennisjernigan.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, you can follow me on Instagram, and you can find me on iTunes. And if you'd like an MP3 of the song More Than Enough, just go to the store at dennisjernigan.com. If you'd like a copy of my new book, Renewing Your Mind, Identity and the Matter of Choice, just go to amazon.com and you'll find it there along with many other books I've written. And once you've read the book, would you mind going back to Amazon and leaving me a review? And while you're at it, please consider leaving a review for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews help get the attention of others who might be ministered to, which leads me to ask you to do a bold thing. Share this podcast with others you think might benefit from it. Encourage them to become subscribers to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. That would mean a great deal to me. This is a simple way of helping me minister to the needs of others. Well, thank you again for joining me for today's podcast. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Now go and be who Father says you are.